You're listening to the Stable Management Podcast, where we discuss the barn management topics that you're passionate about.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Stable Management Podcast. Our goal is to bring you a real-world look into the parts of horse farm management that you love or hate most, such as stall bedding, farm equipment, and pasture maintenance. During each bi-monthly episode, we'll be joined by an expert guest who shares their experiences with and perspectives on an important stable management topic. I'm your host, Haley Kersetter, and my guest today is Dr. Melinda Story from Colorado State University. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hello, Haley. Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
So today's topic is really exciting for me. It's equine chiropractic care, and we're going to jump right into that because I know there's so much to discuss with it. So can you talk a bit about what does it mean when you talk about performing chiropractic care on a horse, since some people probably haven't seen it?
You know, for me, one of the big things that I think about is actually I use chiropractic care as a professional as much diagnostically as I do therapeutically, which I don't think that a lot of people have in mind necessarily. So I really believe that the training in chiropractic and for me, acupuncture actually has given me a new way to look at the horse's body and to sort of hear what they have to say. And so when I'm going out to see a horse for chiropractic care, I'm really trying to understand what they are trying to tell me in all ways. So where are they compensating? What might be sore that is not appearing as an overt lameness? A lot of these horses we see for really subtle performance problems. And so I love to just listen to the horse, and they will tell you a lot if you take the time to really go through their whole body. And so before we even truly start a true chiropractic adjustment, if you will, there is just so much that goes into evaluating them and understanding all of the things that their body has to say.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. So when you do get to the actual adjusting part, can you talk a bit about how that might benefit a horse's health?
Sure. So, you know, the bottom line is the nervous system manages all things in any body, right? It manages proper organ function, musculoskeletal function. And so when we do a chiropractic adjustment, the goal is to restore normal mobility in all of the joints along the spine, which is what most people think of when they think chiropractic care, but really any joint in the body. But specifically, when we're doing the adjustments along the spine, you know, from their pole to their tail, we are trying to make sure that all of those joints along their neck, back, through their pelvis, that they are moving properly. And through that, then the nervous system can function more appropriately. So there are nerves that come out of the spinal cord. And they exit along every joint space, if you will, along the entire spinal cord. And so when we have dysfunctions, that's sort of the word that we use. If we have a dysfunction or there is not normal mobility, those nerves secondarily may not function properly. And then those signals get a little bit off kilter from the brain to the rest of the body and back again. So if we restore mobility along the spine, then those nerves can function properly, and therefore all of the body can be healthier and function better.
In what types of horses or with what specific health conditions do you typically see chiropractic adjustments being most effective?
In my practice, I see mostly performance horses, you know, and that might be burrow horses, rope horses, dressage, jumping, race horses. Any athlete can really benefit. We ask a lot of them, which I think is totally fair. But through that, their bodies go through a lot, and we need to maintain all of that health and normal mobility and subsequent strength. So for sure, the athlete, the performance horse, that's a big part of my practice. However, I feel equally strongly that the little horses in the backyard can also benefit. Maybe it's a horse who has had surgery. Maybe it's a horse who's had an injury, and so they've been on stall rest. And I do think that those horses get overlooked sometimes in the need for chiropractic care. The perception is that because the horse is just standing around, they don't need the chiropractic management. And actually, I think those horses can benefit immensely, because there is not anybody, you know, no species is meant to just be sedentary and sit. Humans, I would say, feel the same. If we're bedridden for some period of time, our bodies really fall apart, and horses 100% are the same. If they're standing around in a stall for 23 hours a day, their bodies are not meant to do that. And so they also really, really can benefit from chiropractic care. And then for me, I do a lot of strength and mobility exercises. I will have owners do a lot of at-home care between my adjustments. And I think, again, those horses can really, really benefit from that, so that we can keep them strong and functional, so that when they do come out of their stall rest, for whatever reason they were in it, they're ready to go start moving and be functional again.
Yeah, I think that's so important for our listeners to remember, and myself included. I'm totally guilty of thinking that the horse that's on stall rest or has an injury might be the one to leave off the chiropractic list for the day, but that's definitely not true. So I'm glad that you mentioned that.
Yeah, I really think that they might be the biggest one actually to put on that list, for sure.
Sure. So are there any scenarios where chiropractic care might be dangerous or harmful to a horse? And could there be any side effects?
Sure. I think that we have to be really careful and thoughtful about understanding what is going on with the horse before we just jump into chiropractic management. There are the big overt things that I'm sure everybody would think about. You know, if the horse has had a trailer accident, we need to understand if there have been any significant structural injuries. Are there fractures? Are there soft tissue tears that we really need to know about before we start to do chiropractic management? So I am very adamant that we have to evaluate these horses really carefully and understand any acute or chronic injury that we're dealing with, so that we don't increase damage to a structure. That's never the goal, right? And with careful chiropractic care, that should not happen. But if there's an underlying sort of quiet fracture, if you will, that may be unnoticed until we try to do an adjustment on a horse. So I'm, again, I can't emphasize enough the need for a really thorough understanding of what all is going on in the horse. There are some moments when I think that, you know, maybe they have an old deep digital flexor tear injury, and perhaps some of the mobility exercises on the limb will overstrain that tendon. So I also am a strong believer that people with a really good understanding of the whole medical knowledge of the horse, not just their spine, is also really important before we start to work on these horses. As far as other times when we have to be careful or thoughtful, just a little bit of an aside, you know, there are more and more horses now with cervical disease concerns, and some of those horses are having stabilization surgeries. And so back to the importance of history and really understanding the horse. For an example, if that horse has had a fusion in its neck, and then it might sell and go to a new owner, and then that new owner wonders why its neck function is just a little bit different than maybe another horse in the barn, and the chiropractor doesn't understand to ask those questions, or they don't understand the history, and they're trying to mobilize a segment that has been surgically stabilized, I think we can all imagine that that won't go very well and could lead to some problems. So again, understanding the horse, having a good diagnosis, being really thoughtful about the whole horse, that I can't emphasize that enough. So those are really important things when we're thinking about the safety of chiropractic care.
So the first time that you see a particular horse, does your first time adjusting them also include an exam? Do you ever employ diagnostic imaging before you actually adjust a horse? What might that look like?
Yep. For me, you know, I always want to watch the horse move. It doesn't necessarily have to be a full lameness exam. It depends a lot on, again, what the body is telling me, what that horse has to say, what I pick up on with my hands through that first run through, if you will. But absolutely, I think that they need to be evaluated in motion before we ever get started. And if there are, if there is a lameness, I absolutely will have that conversation with the owner. I am in a situation where I'm a lameness specialist as well as a chiropractor, so I can fill both of those hats, if you will. Sometimes that's not always the case. So if you have a chiropractor who does strict chiropractic work, that's fine. But we all need to have a real open, honest conversation that this is a team effort. And so if that chiropractor has significant concerns, they need to send it back to the lameness specialist. And the lameness specialist, in my opinion, needs to understand that there is real value in some of these integrative therapies. And if we all keep the same goal in mind, and that is a healthy, functional horse, and therefore a happy owner, if that's always our goal, then that team approach works really well. And I'm a firm believer of practicing that way and teaching that to my students and residents.
Yeah, I think that's a common theme that we come across in this podcast, especially, is that everything's a team effort and no one aspect of horse care is more important than the other. But it's so important that everybody works together and communicates about each horse so that they can ultimately make the horse its happiest and healthiest.
Absolutely. You know, the dentist and the farrier, particularly as it relates to chiropractic care, in my mind, are also incredibly integral to success. And so, yeah, working really closely with farriers, working really closely with the dentists, that cannot be overemphasized in my mind.
Yeah, I like that you mentioned the dentist. I don't know that that's one I would initially think of as being connected to chiropractic care, but that totally makes sense now that you say it.
Yeah, there's a lot of thought about that. in fact, I know some dentists who just go practice with a chiropractor, that, you know, they go see the horses at the same time because it is so incredibly integrated. Absolutely.
So can you talk a little bit about acupuncture and acupressure and how they fit in with chiropractic care?
Absolutely. So again, I do acupuncture as well. And so acupuncture also is really focused on maintaining and developing a healthy nervous system. And so I practice more from the physiologic aspects of acupuncture. So really, what are we doing to the nerves? How are we stimulating them on a molecular level? What pathways are we maybe upregulating and downregulating? You know, how do we decrease inflammation in the body through acupuncture? How do we improve GI motility with acupuncture? All of those things are absolutely possible. And the desired consequence of acupuncture in my mind is, again, maintaining a healthy nervous system and therefore healthy organs and a functional body. They go hand in hand for me with chiropractic care. So if we have an area, just say in the neck, that's not moving well, and those nerves are therefore not functioning well, those signals are not going back and forth from the body to the brain well, that becomes a dysfunctional area in that horse's neck. It might be painful. It might just be stiff and uncomfortable. Sometimes those horses develop some, you know, significant behavior problems because it's so uncomfortable for them. So first we have to maintain or reinstate, if you will, that mobility through chiropractic management. But then we can help that nerve even more. We can help that whole region with acupuncture. So for me, they go hand in hand. There's many times when I will do chiropractic and acupuncture in the same horse in the same session. And then acupressure for me comes in, that's a lovely way for the owners to maintain some of that good stimulation, again, between therapy sessions. So I will commonly do chiropractic care, acupuncture, maybe I'll throw in a laser, you know, treatment somewhere. And then I will instruct the owner on how to do proper mobilization and strength exercises focused on the areas that we have found in that session. And then they can also do acupressure, massage, again, maybe laser therapy, PEMF therapy between sessions, just so that we really continue to help support that body And that's how we have the best outcome for me. You know, it's hard if we have an owner maybe who I see the horse every 2 or 3 months for chiropractic care, and then they just either go stand in their stall or they go and do their really intense work, and there's none of that support between sessions. Those are not nearly as beneficial for me. And so the acupressure is just another way for those owners to stimulate the same acupuncture points, right? That's where the nerves and blood vessels, those points are these high impact areas, if you will, in the body. So we can stimulate it with a laser. We can stimulate it with a needle. We can stimulate it with maybe some B12 or Trameal injections, and the owners can stimulate it with just simple pressure. So we're having varying degrees of impact in those same regions, depending on what I may use, and then the owner can use just their fingers, their hands between sessions.
Yeah, I like that you mentioned the between session care, because I actually heard another practitioner say that some people look at chiropractic adjustment or acupuncture as like a once in a while spa day for their horse. But she said, you know, in reality, this is just part of regular maintenance, just like you have your vet come out and do vaccines, which I thought was a nice way of looking at it. At least for me, it reminded me of, you know, the whole horse approach, that you need to be looking at every aspect as important for their routine care.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm not saying that the random chiropractic adjustments may not be beneficial. And if there's been an acute trauma, a surgery, et cetera, that's fine. But to really have the best outcome, to really genuinely be able to maintain that normal functional horse for the long haul, I think regular care is best. And then the owners and trainers doing sort of those maintenance therapies is what it really takes to have the best outcome.
Recharge your training program with Equestrian Plus. Equestrian Plus brings together top riders, trainers, and professionals onto one video platform. Watch over 5,000 how-to training videos, clinic and event footage, exclusive training sessions, and more, featuring top experts including 5-time dressage Olympian Stefan Peters, 5-time Olympic show jumper Ann Krasinski, Olympic eventer and silver medalist William Fox Pitt, and more. Join Equestrian Plus now and use promo code HRN15 for 15% off your first month. Visit EquestrianPlusPLUS.com to subscribe.
So are there any benefits or risks specifically associated with acupuncture and acupressure that might not be associated with chiropractic care?
There are some general states, if you will, that I do think it's important to keep in mind. So, for instance, I personally will not do acupuncture on a pregnant animal. In human practice, there is certainly a whole area of practice for pregnancy, and that's fine. However, there is the potential to stimulate some uterine contractions with acupuncture. And so I prefer to just play it very safe and have my general rule that I will not do a pregnant horse post-foaling. That's an amazing time to do some acupuncture care. But when they are in their pregnancy, I prefer not to, just to cover my bases. I don't think that in general we will get into the situation where we induce an abortion, if you will. But if something happens on that mare and it has recently had acupuncture, I think it would be very difficult to say that there hadn't been some impact. You know, there's a lot of acupuncture that we still do not understand. A lot of people are trying to do some great research to really understand acupuncture, but it's not straightforward at all. And so until we have a better understanding and really understanding which points may in fact be negative in that state, I prefer to just play it safe. There are other, you know, sort of off the norm instances when I think it could be dangerous. Perhaps the animal has a clotting problem. You know, that's certainly not something that we commonly think of in a horse, but there are those moments when maybe that's not the best choice. The biggest time when I think that acupuncture is not really indicated is when we have a really, really hyperacetic horse and trying to put the needles in actually just wreaks havoc in their nervous system. There is no doubt that there are some horses who just absolutely cannot tolerate the stimulation to their nervous system, to their skin. And for me, we have to just acknowledge that and accept it. And again, listen to what the horse is telling us. And first and foremost, understand why. What is going on in that horse's body that is causing that hyperesthetic state? And what can we do instead of acupuncture that day to help get the horse into a better state without overstressing it? So again, is it laser? Is it PEMF? Is it just simple exercises? Do we need some systemic medications? Do we need some, you know, injections? Those all go back to the first statement I said, that a good diagnosis is where we start with any of these therapies. But yeah, that's the biggest time when I think we have to just be super thoughtful and careful that acupuncture is not always going to go well. Just because it doesn't go well one day doesn't mean that it won't go well a different day. So that's also important to keep in mind. You know, I hear a lot where owners will say like, oh, my horse hates acupuncture, you can't try. I'm like, let me give it a shot. And it might go great. The bodies change so much and the nervous system changes so much. We have to think about the horse in front of us that day, every time we see an animal, because every day is a new day, you know, whether we're training them or doing chiropractic care, how they see the world changes every day. And we just have to be real thoughtful and take the horse in front of us.
How do you maintain your own safety and the safety of the handler when you have a horse who's not tolerating what you're doing well? Do you just completely abort mission, or do you have ways to adjust what you're doing to make them more comfortable?
Certainly the handler is a huge part of it. I work with some folks here who I trust implicitly to understand the horse, to read the horse. You know, it's one of those moments when you really have to be all in, like your brain cannot be distracted by 100 other things going on for myself, the practitioner, as well as my handler. So I'm adamant that my handler is really with me that day, if you will, and watching the horse. I can't have a distracted person trying to keep me safe, because they will not keep me safe. A lot of it just simply goes back to understanding horses. You know, I grew up around horses, so I can read them and understand them. And there's that line where you just know you better not cross it at this moment. So the big thing for me is accepting that. For some people, they just can't accept it, right? They just think they have to power through that day. And that doesn't always go well. And horses are bigger and stronger and quicker. And there will be those moments that if you ignore your sense and if you ignore the horse, you will get hurt. And so that's a big part of it. Certainly the environment that we work in is a huge part of it. I see a lot of people crawl up on, you know, like those metal step stools, for example. I think that is incredibly dangerous. And I highly recommend not doing that and not allowing people to do that. If you are the owner, finding something for somebody to crawl up on, mounting blocks work fine. Bales of hay work fine. I have a nice chiropractic bale that I carry around with me. So it's just being really thoughtful about not putting yourself in a bad position. And as the owner, as the barn manager, thinking ahead, also just not allowing somebody to put themselves at risk. You know, let's keep the kids out of the aisleway. Let's keep the dogs out of the aisleway. We don't do chiropractic or acupuncture care in a set of stocks around farm implements. I personally think that inside a nice indoor arena is a lovely spot. It's good footing. It's an environment that the horse is probably used to. If something bad happens, the ground is, you know, soft. We have containment. So just some basic horse management that sometimes, unfortunately, gets lost in the moment. So never losing sight of those basic safety parts is real important.
So I have one final question for you, and it's one that I ask all of my guests about their respective topics. And that's, what is one common misconception that you often hear about veterinary chiropractic care?
You know, it's still out there that chiropractic care doesn't do anything in a horse, or, you know, along those lines that humans can't possibly adjust a big horse. And I think that is silly when you really think about what chiropractic care is. Again, we are trying to maintain and restore mobility to the joints, in particular along the spine of a horse. But if you look inside, if you look at a skeleton, if you look at pictures, if you really think about it, those joints are actually quite small. So we are not trying to move these massive joints. We do not need a lot of force. If you see a chiropractor using a ton of force and it kind of looks big and aggressive and scary, if you will, that's not correct. That's not what we need to do. We are trying to move very small joints in very small ways. And therefore, you don't have to be big and strong. We don't need to use, you know, what's sometimes out there with these long levers, these long boards to adjust these horses. That is just absolutely not necessary and can be incredibly dangerous. So thinking very thoughtfully about what we're actually doing, these are small joints. They are very distinct motions in a really particular way, and that makes it safe and that makes it really beneficial.
So that's all the time that we have for today, but it's been awesome talking with you today, Dr. Story. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to be here.
And thank you all for listening today. Please remember to like this podcast, subscribe, leave a review, and recommend the Stable Management Podcast to a friend.